message. And I really felt I should share it with you this morning. And do you know, when I was an eight-year-old, I was brought up in Northern Ireland. I said I was born in Macclesfield. Some of you will know Macclesfield. Not so far away, is it, from these parts? But I was brought up amongst the hills in Northern Ireland, more in mountains. I don't know if any of you know that country at all. Any of you have been? You've been? Okay, right, okay. That's where I lived, on a very small farm up the hills. And we used to go, my mum used to take me to church in a little place called Bryansford on a Sunday. But then once a month, up the hills, and it really was in a very remote spot, although I didn't realise that because that's all I was really experiencing. Once a month on a Thursday night, in a little hall, it used to be the old schoolroom, there was a service. And in its time, it was an ecumenical one that different ministers and different denominations would take this. And my mum would take me there, you know, and I remember going up with the torch up the country road. It took about 40 minutes, I should think, from where we lived to this little room. And I was asked if I would read. Yeah. I was given this passage to read. The week before, because it was from the church that I went to on a Sunday, and the minister said, look, would you read this? You know, and don't be shy when you're asked to read. Okay. But anyway, that was me. And it was this passage. And, do you know, I've come back to it today because I'm still trying to put it into practice. After all those years, yeah, still trying to put it into practice. And the amazing thing about the Bible for me is, you know, you come back to what might be familiar passages, but something fresh strikes you. And I just hope as we come back to it today, there'll be fresh things, or maybe truths that we know but are come to us again in our situation now. Do you know what I mean? Just as we are now. It's like a treasure, isn't it? Finding a treasure in a field, something rich. And I'm going to look at two levels on this, really, because it really seems to be Jesus saying what really matters most. What comes first? Why is the church about here? What's it about? And you've got it there, you see, verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's the thing that we really are about. And that was put in even the Isaiah promise, save to serve. It was a text that was given to me many years ago, was that one from Isaiah. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. So here we are with this passage. Jesus is saying this is what matters most. God's way of doing things. God's reign. God's love before everything else. And he's already said about being salt and light. That's already come in the Sermon on the Mount. And loving your neighbor, and not just loving your neighbor, loving your enemies. So all this hard stuff, Jesus is saying, look, if you want to be part of kingdom, the kingdom I long for, my kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven, that's what begins to happen. We go across our natural desires of thinking we just like and love those who are just like us and are nice people, to cross boundaries to those who see things differently, but also those who we find it harder to get on. We just still care for them. And then it goes on in the next chapter, what's called the golden rule. So in everything, chapter 7 and verse 12, do to others as you would have them do for you. Or one version puts it, treat other people in a way that you would want to be treated. This is really hard. Now, I've got this far without mentioning the election. Haven't I, eh? And I don't know how you reacted to the results. I don't know whether you were really fed up as the day went on, if you stayed up into the night like I did, stayed up too long, whether you were really excited by the outcome or really thoroughly miserable, okay? Well, I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to ask you. And I'm not going to easily reveal how I reacted either. Not at all. No, no, no. But, you know, we would have, yeah, a wide range of emotions. And Christians throughout will have done. And I know I was going to talk a bit more about it, but I won't do it now. You've actually been looking at some of the issues on these cards, haven't you, in recent weeks? So well done for doing that, because not all our churches have been doing that. And these cards of things that are important. And, you know, I have to say, some of you know that I served the Baptist Union going around the country, whole United Kingdom, actually, over the last couple of years. So lots of people, and included going to the Conservative Party conference. I mean, I was sent to it from the Baptist Union. And in this time, I mean, I met the Christian Conservatives, and there's some MPs, and I could name some, they may not mean anything to you, but David Burrows and Andrew Salu, these two Christian evangelicals who are Conservatives, right? The Lib Dems, hardly any of them left, but two of them at least, and there could be more, who are really committed Christians. Tim Farron, who got elected up in Westmorland again. I've met him. I'm not just trying to say, but he's evangelical. I've heard him preach, because he was preaching and I was preaching on the same meeting in Preston at something called The Guild. You may have heard of that. That was a couple of years ago. So, and he was fervent for Christ, you see. And then Greg Mulholland in Leeds, who I've met and know because I was in Leeds. He managed to get re-elected. He's a Christian. So there we are. Labour, the MP for our constituency in Huddersfield, where our church is, Barry Shearman, was converted through Billy Graham. Yeah, years ago. It would be years ago, yeah. And when we had the hustings in our church, you know, where we have different representatives, and we ask them questions. I mean, everybody's invited. It's not just for Christians. He actually volunteered to say, and I knew this, he's Church of England at Wakefield. He goes to the church there. But he actually said, you know, I became a Christian through Billy Graham's ministry, etc. So there we are with Labour. When I was in Scotland, I didn't meet him personally. And do you know I've forgotten his name, which doesn't help you, does it? But one of the top Scottish nationalist, SNP, yeah, who's in one of the in their cabinet with Nicola Sturgeon and whatever, is a deacon in a Baptist church. So there you go. How about that there then, as they say, yeah? There are Christians in each of those parties, no matter how we might feel. And I think today is important because there's a lot of shell-shocking going around, isn't there? Because I think even the Prime Minister didn't think it was going to work out like this, yeah? So I think they're adjusting to, what? When we thought even they'd ordered the sandwiches for them to negotiate for days as to about a government, as well as obviously those who've lost their seats. And, well, people lose jobs. We know people. It might have happened to you. You know, it's painful in its own way. All trying to work this out. But there are Christians all around. Now, why am I saying all this? Because the things that you've been talking about here, about what is truth, what is real peace, and the Bible word for peace means something deep inside, not just the absence of trouble, but, you know, all the best for people. We want people to know all the best, which was it. Well-being is another word, comes from the peace as well, that people will actually know strength in their lives, and we just sung about it, God, who is a God of justice. Just sung that, haven't we? So these elements are four important elements, and there's more elements to what kingdom means, to seek the kingdom. And it's our task, Christians and others, to hold the government to account. Yeah? And this is not just another world out there. We're part of this world. And a local MP, whichever persuasion they are, or for the area we live in, that we're not in a perfect world. We know that. And in fact, the church I was involved in Leeds, long before my time, but after an election years ago, the minister arranged for a big poster outside, a very prominent, this building was in the centre of Leeds, at Blenheim. And it said, after the election, this Sunday equivalent, put a big notice up saying, one lot of sinners out, another lot of sinners in. In other words, we're all imperfect, and they're imperfect. But we seek all of us to travel on a road that seeks God's kingdom, that God reigns over it all, but it's done more justly, so that these elements of justice, well-being for all, not just for some, peace in the world and be a peacemaker, and also based on truth and honesty, telling truth, living with integrity, you know, being true to your word, all those elements are part of when God sent his son into the world. Those are elements of seeking the kingdom. So that's for those who've just been elected, and I know a lot of us will make sure we do try and travel in that area where these four elements are growing. But it's also a challenge for me personally and for you, because we can point at them and this, that, and the other he's doing. How do I live? Do you know, I had a funny reminder of this. Not long ago, I was driving through Bradford. And I used to be in Bradford years ago. That's where my first pastorate was. And you know how things change if you haven't been in the place for a while, especially the roads. And if you're a driver, I was on a three-lane dual carriageway. Well, it was, but three lanes going out. I was on the outside lane. I know where I'm going. I'm heading for Shipley. Suddenly the lane disappeared, you know. It's nasty, that, isn't it? It just says curve. Indicate to pull in. And you know what happened. Nobody would let me in. So I waited, indicated, nobody would let me in. I tried to think, I got a bit frustrated because I was slightly late pushed for time on this meeting. Then a car slowed down. Just began to pull into the lane. No, the car then started moving on. Wouldn't let me in. And it said on the back of the car bumper, every day commit random acts of kindness. And there, I had to smile. And I had to think, Lord, I've got to watch if I put text on the back of my car or a cross or anything, you know. Can we all live up to it? Every day, random acts of kindness. Someone, undoubtedly, I'm sure, a lovely person. Yeah? Put that out, because she'd heard that phrase, random acts of kindness. I'll put it on the bumper to remind everybody else on the road. But there was a gap. Certainly for her at that moment. Hey, I wasn't going to say the gender, because it's not always that way around. It's usually men cut me in. Never mind. Now, I'm aware of that, so we must pray, and we will pray today for the new MPs, yeah, new MPs as well. But for me too, I'm aware of the gap between all the things that I would wish to see happen in my community in Huddersfield and what I need to be involved in and my attitudes needing to be transformed. So that's one way of looking at that passage. Are you looking at this same passage in your Bible study today, did somebody say? This afternoon, yeah, that's right. I think Beryl just told me that, didn't you? Same passage, yeah? We didn't know, did we? Right. So you can talk about some of these things and add all your own wisdom and insights to it. But we do need to pray. But seek first the kingdom. Now, I'm going to leave that aside, if you like, another level to this passage. And this is the harder bit for me too. Verse 25, do not worry. Do not worry about your life, yeah? About what you need to eat or drink or your body, what you wear. Verse 25, is not life more important than food, the body more important than clothes? Do not worry. Now, that is really tough, I think. And then I think about it again, because Jesus too had his concerns at certain moments, you know? When he went to Gethsemane on the way to the cross. Now, I know it was different, but he knew the anguish of what was coming. And he was actually saying, Lord, Father, just take this cup away. I don't know if I can face this. Yeah, I'm here through your strength, but you know. So he went through moments of concern. And he was concerned also about food and drink for other people, wasn't he? Look at the feeding of the 5,000 or whatever. He didn't say, right, you've heard me teaching, bye-bye, and walk off, did he? What did he do? He fed them. Yeah, he fed them. He did something about it. He did something about it. And that was a miracle, an amazing miracle in itself. And also when people, you know, are thirsty. And again, you'll know this text in Matthew 25, verse 37. And later on in Matthew's gospel, because see, Matthew's gospel then keeps expounding, what does kingdom mean? You know, those are the parables that have come up and all that. What does this kingdom mean? He gives lots of stories. And here we have this story about the sheep and the goats and the division between the sheep and the goats and the righteous, the ones who think they're doing well. Verse 37, then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you? And then the king will say, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. So actually, yes, Jesus is saying, don't care about food, don't care about drink or clothes, but he's also saying, hey, if you've got food and clothes and plenty to drink, you share it with those who haven't. Because that's what he did here. That's what he's saying. Because they said, well, Jesus, his followers are saying, if we saw you hungry, we would feed you. If we saw you thirsty, we'd bring you a drink. If we saw you needed some clothes, we would get some clothes for you. And he's saying, well, if you see anybody like that, help them. Because that's me. I'm in the poor. I'm in the thirsty. I'm in the hungry. And so we're coming to Christian Aid Week. It's good to see all your posters around. And you're going to have a lunch. Lunchtime, aren't you? I was going to say a starvation lunch, but, you know, a simple lunch. Although somebody tells me it's not maybe as simple as you were expecting, but no, but it's fantastic you're doing that. Fantastic. This week, a lot of collections for Christian Aid, money coming in. And, you know, I know sometimes we get a bit fed up with things in the country, don't we? But I mix with asylum seekers at our church with a drop-in, and I hear some of the countries they come from. They couldn't have an election like we've had in peace. There'd be trouble, there'd be shootings, there'd be killings, all sorts of things. One of them came to the hustings, I'm slightly deviating here, the other day in our church. He couldn't believe you could have, you know, all the different parties peacefully. Well, yeah, saying I don't agree with that, but doing it peacefully, he couldn't believe it. He said, we could not do that in our home country. But also, the generosity of what will be collected this week is amazing. The Nepal terrible earthquake, it's out of the headlines with all the election stuff, isn't it? 30-odd million collected in a few days. Yeah? That's just through the disaster emergency relief. People will be given it other ways. There's a generosity around which, when we get fed up over things, and maybe even election results, there is evidence of kingdom in hidden ways all around. And here, Jesus is reminding, when we do these things for others, like Christian Aid, we're doing it for him. That's a very profound statement. That's my sermon emphasis isn't on that this morning. But he's saying this. He says, so, when we get anxious, and I share that at times, when we get worked up about things, and what might happen tomorrow. Well, one reality is, actually, so often what we're worried about tomorrow doesn't happen. Now, sometimes it can, I realize that. But if you could almost add it all up, we worry more about tomorrow than actually happens. Now, we make these little cliches, you know, it may never happen and all that. But Jesus is trying to get us, generally, to focus on the present today and not imagine the stuff for tomorrow. And he focuses here on nature, doesn't he? The birds of the air. And I don't know if you're into the RSPB and the birds. I don't know. But, you know, I heard the other day of a cuckoo, which they've called Chris, who had come back to this country and it had an electronic tag on it and it had visited 28 countries. Can you imagine? During its migration. just amazing. Now, hey, you might think, right, but I find that interesting. Okay, I find it interesting. The birds of the air, geese in formation. When you see them gagging across, that formation is very important. You know, that helps them. They can go farther when they're in formation, can't they? And if the ones at the front are getting exhausted or feel unwell, they have their own way of them stepping back and others taking over. So far stronger together. There's a lesson in that. So nature, the birds, have lots of lessons. And Jesus is saying, hey, just look at nature I've created. And we've seen some of those beautiful things this morning. How great thou art. Remind us of blessings of what we experience, of acts of kindness, of friends. Yes, even random acts of kindness. We had that little thing about the text, but people doing kind acts, and I hope and I'm sure we could stop and have a discussion now, you know, of kindness that we've experienced that people would never have thought of, never thought it meant anything. But for us at a particular moment, it was a message from God. They are not alone. We've got somebody with us. The flowers. Now, I don't know if you have any gardens or a few flowers or whatever. The lilies here. Well, it could have been like crocuses. Now, near where I live, there's a wood nearby, and the bluebells have come out. Yeah, bluebell time. And, you know, there's a whole hill, and it's just like a carpet of bluebells. Yeah? Now, you have bluebells around, don't you? So nature going through its cycle. But then Jesus says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Or it can mean an inch to your height. It can be taken either way. Can you make yourself grow taller? Well, you can't, can you? When you're younger, if you eat the right things, you start growing, don't you? As you get older, it starts growing in another direction, doesn't it? But, and then about the birds, are you not much more valuable than they are? So Jesus saying, and it's for me, has to be a discipline about living one day at a time. I'm not preaching here as if to say, go on, off you go and do it. I too can be thinking of what if, what if, what if, what if. Jesus trying to get us in this passage to really try and focus on the now. And yes, we can look back at times and think, how did we get through? And somehow we have got through with friends, with the strength of God. How do we keep learning to get through the day? Well, part of it is doing stuff where we're able to for his kingdom, like we've been outlining, and being positive in looking for others. And we can encourage others, even if we can't rush around the way we did, we can give a quick phone call or a card, you know, a little word that just encourages along the way. That is so, means so much to us. And God will be in our tomorrows, but he's just asking us to trust him for today. To do the right thing. And there are times when we just have to say, Jesus, help me. I'm worried. I'm stuck. Please help me. And we believe he does. It doesn't mean that suddenly everything turns out all right. Sometimes it does. But we get through. And that is the miracle of believing. Now, when I prepared this, and let me say, I prepared this sermon before the election and everything earlier this week, so I better do it because I don't know what's going to happen. And I prepared this before I knew my granddaughter would be here today. Okay, she's come with me today. Nia's here. But I started off with the story, going with my mother, didn't I, to that little mission hall to read the passage. Nia's mum is my eldest daughter, Sarah. And when she was about three, we took her on holiday to Anglesey, near Holyhead, South Stack Lighthouse. If anybody of you know, any of you ever been? Yes. Hey, look, you know what I mean. Right. Now, I think the family were there last week. Right. That's what prompted me, actually. I've not told this story. It's not because you're here today, Nia. I've not told this story for ages, and I thought, but that was in my mind that you said you'd been, or Sarah said you'd been, three-year-old. Now, if you were there years ago, not now, but years ago, it was a rickety bridge. You know, a rickety bridge. Now it's a nice bridge. But if you go on all those steps towards the lighthouse, are you with me? Some of you are with me. We go all down the steps. Well, she did, a confident three-year-old, walking ahead. This is great. We're behind. Hold on, Sarah, wait a minute. You know what kids are like. Right, off she goes. Like this. And then she was going across the bridge, and you could hold on, but it's one of these, it was then one of these type of bridges, yeah, swaying along. And all the, it wasn't storm, but you know, the waves were lashing against the rocks just beside it, splashing and all that. And she was, this confident little three-year-old suddenly turned around because she saw all this going on. She said, "Daddy, hold my hand." And as a good father, what did I do? Held her hand. I didn't say, "Serve you right, go on." Now, in the profoundest of ways, even in our confidence, when the ground under us begins to sway and the storm all around us, if this book means anything, it means this, that our living Father, Father God, is actually just behind us. And we say, "Help," and he will grasp our hands. He won't say, "Serve you right." He grasps our hand and he says, "Do not be afraid. I am with you. Trust me." We used to sing an old song, didn't we? "Precious Lord, take my hand." And that deeply applies from this passage. He will hold us. Whatever's going on, we may not always feel him, but he's there. And he can be the quiet one that just accompanies us through, because his love will never let us go. Amen. A short prayer and then we'll sing. Lord, we thank you indeed for your word. We thank you for your promises of the kingdom. We thank you too that you understand us as human beings. You know at times we do get worried. Young and old, we get anxious about things. We need wisdom and advice, and we can talk to you at any moment to say, "Lord, just help us." And there are times when we have gone our own way. We've asked you already to forgive us. But you're always knocking on the door deeper in our lives to come inside. You want to be with us. And so help us, Lord, wherever our daily lives are about. You know every circumstance, as we said earlier. Just help us, and help us to know that you're going to be holding on to us and you'll never let us go. Help us to trust you. Lord, we know as we trust, our fears disappear or are reduced. And as we trust somebody else, especially you, you can take away those fears. Do not be afraid. So bless us now, we pray. And may you bless us as we just gather briefly now with our younger people too. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing one.